My father was a DJ. David Roberts, David or Dave to his friends, never die for some reason, to give him his full name, David James Roberts. DJ Roberts. He wasn't a disc jockey. He was a teacher. He taught me a lot, of course, and one of the lessons I learned from him was that every teacher has a secret. Keep listening, and I'll tell you what it is now, Jess. Dad was a born teacher. He loved the job. It wasn't a job to him, it was a calling. He did his teacher training in Caerleon, straight out of school, and by the time he was 19, he was fully qualified. His first post was in Llanharry Junior School. He used to catch the train every morning, from the old Penygraig station on the Ely Valley line. Later, he taught in Tay and Hendrick Cavan, and for a good while in Williamstown Juniors. And then, when I was about 6 or 7, he became the scripture master in the girls' grammar school, Porth County. Not every pupil loves their teacher, but if I say so myself, Dad had a big influence on the lives of many of his students in Porth County. How do I know? Well, because time and again over the years, when I've been out and about far and wide, women of about my age, who I don't know necessarily, but who seem to recognise me, come rushing up to me in the street saying something like, "Oh, what a lovely man your father was." Yes, a two-edged sword being the son of a teacher man. I was thinking about Dad's long and happy teaching career. All but 40 years he did. Because I heard the other day about a teacher who taught for even longer, and all at the one school, Porth County Boys Grammar. On the Past Pupils Facebook page, a great source of historical info, one of our number, Ken Emery, posted a facsimile of the school magazine from 1966. It caught my eye because one of the magazine's editors was my great friend and colleague Phil George from Treorchy. Phil's editorial introduced an article of reminiscences by one of the retiring teachers, Mr. N. H. Burnell, M.A. Mr. Burnell had joined the school from Leeds University to teach French and English as long ago as January 1925. Now, my first year at Porth County was 1968, so I just missed being taught by Mr. Burnell, but I worked closely for many years with Phil George, and I regard him as one of my contemporaries, so it blew my mind to think that he edited a magazine with a contribution from a teacher who started in county 97 years ago. N.H. Burnell, Noel Burnell, I think, was, according to one of his pupils I've spoken to, a champion solver of fiendishly difficult cryptic crossword puzzles. He was certainly a character, with his centre parting, beady eyes and glasses. When he'd taken a dram or two of whiskey, some say he was given to declaiming to his fellow drinkers in the Raffa Club long passages of Shakespeare. I don't know about that, but he could certainly write himself. Here's his account of what Porth County was like early in his career, in the 1920s and 1930s. There was no central heating. Each classroom was heated by a totally inadequate coal fire in an open grate, and the two rooms in the tin shack were heated by even more inadequate stoves. In severely cold weather, it was not uncommon for the ink to freeze solid in the inkwells. And in the shack, masters had to try and teach in impossible conditions, with the boys standing in closely packed circles round the stove, in an attempt to ward off frostbite. Now, Porth County was supposed to be Rhondda's elite school, the best equipped of them all, so goodness knows what things were like elsewhere. And that's not all. The poverty and injustice which blighted Rhondda life in the 1920s and 1930s meant that boys were coming to school in no fit state to learn. listen to Mr. Burnell's memoirs again. Those were the days of the Great Depression, when a considerable number of boys were grievously underfed. There was then no school milk and no school dinners. It was indeed a harrowing sight to see boys ill-clad, ill-shod, and physically ill from lack of food. More than once a boy fainted as a result of undernourishment, especially in the upper school where the strain of preparing for the all-important examinations was aggravated by hunger and physical weakness. What's extraordinary to me is that from these deprived and brutalising circumstances, a cadre of boys emerged who not only passed those exams with flying colours, but went on to make massive impacts in their chosen careers, rising to distinguished positions of national significance in Wales and beyond. Here's N.H. Burnell again, naming just a few of them. I remember the runner W. Drew, Victor Ludorum, sports champion of the mid-20s, who was to become head of the fingerprint department in the Metropolitan CID. Jack Sibery, rosy-cheeked and smiling, who rose to high office in the civil service and became permanent secretary to the Welsh office and chairman of the Welsh Economic Planning Board. Jack Metford, the professor of Spanish at Bristol University. Gwyn Thomas, author, critic, radio and TV personality, who translated sentences into French as quickly as I could write them in English on the blackboard, and whose translations from French into English were miniature masterpieces. Gwyn Thomas was a giant. By the 1950s, a media celebrity, a regular raconteur and pundit on hugely popular programmes like The Brains Trust. But if we're to believe Gwyn's own sardonic account, his first years as a pupil at Porth County in the late 1920s weren't quite as triumphant as N.H. Burnell suggests. Listen, here's Gwyn Thomas with a story from the schoolboy's perspective. Coming up to my 14th year, I was recruited into the Amateur Dramatic Society. The play was The Rivals by Sheridan. There was no costume for me in the hamper of hired garments. A local seamstress knocked up a likeness of an 18th century teenage turnout. The breeches were too tight. The first night was a buzz of confusion. I'd put my costume on early and got fed up with the fuss and clamour of the changing room. Other actors kept appearing suddenly before me and asking, in voices made sharp by tension, if I knew my part. It was a small part. I knew all six words of it. I would have been wiser to stay in the dressing room instead of mingling with the arriving audience. Most of them had no idea of the period in which the play was set, and seeing me in lace and breeches, thought I might be no more than an oddly dressed civilian customer. I put on my county school cap to remind the headmaster and the others that I was not on indefinite leave from 1927. The play started. I got back to the wings and awaited my entrance. I missed my cue line and was pushed onto the stage. It was done too roughly. I collided into another actor with a force that had us both tottering. There was a lot of laughter. But there was something more. People not only laughing, but pointing to their heads. I had come on stage, still wearing my county school cap. The headmaster stood up and gave the customers a look which said, "And that's what you're paying your rates for." Teachers and pupils, the brilliance and the humour that emerged from one Rhondda school in the dark days of an era when decent working people couldn't afford to feed their children properly or keep themselves warm. Thank goodness we'll never see times like that again. Will we? I'm John Geraint Roberts. Join me for another trip down Memory Terrace next time in John on the Rhondda. Oh, I nearly forgot. That secret my father told me, the secret that every teacher has? It's that no matter how much knowledge they may be imparting in the classroom, they themselves learn so much more from their pupils.